All right. Let's go to John chapter 12. And it is Palm Sunday, so I want to talk a little bit about some things leading up to Palm Sunday. And so we'll be in John 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 15. We're going to look at the supper before Palm Sunday. You know, we always know about the Last Supper with Jesus in the upper room, but there was another supper a week before that the Lord had, and sometimes is overlooked. And what we find is that these guys, they like to eat, you know? How many of you guys like to eat? Kind of comes in handy, right? You got to have food. And you'll find that a lot of what they did was around food. You know, Jesus fed the multitudes a couple different times. You'll see Jesus sitting around a fire, breaking bread and fish with his disciples. You see him in the upper room. And we're going to look at another meal. This was a dinner, a supper. I don't know, what do you guys call it? Is it dinner? Is it supper? When is dinner? That's what I need to ask you guys. When is lunch? We know when lunch is, right? But when it's supper, dinner, I'll let you guys fight and figure out which one it is, okay? But in John chapter 12, the Bible here calls it a supper. Would you just follow along as we kind of look at the days leading up to Jesus' entrance into the city, the day that we call Palm Sunday. But I want to look at kind of what was going on before Palm Sunday. So it says this in John 12, beginning in verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Now notice this, whom Jesus raised from the dead. We'll talk about that in a moment. But there was a miracle that Jesus performed about a week before this. He raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. It says, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. So that's why they're all there. It's a dinner, it's a supper in honor of the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at a number of people that were at this dinner, at this supper. Martha, she served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. So picture this, Thanksgiving, all the guys sitting around watching the football game while the women are working, right? That's kind of what we see here. That's that picture. Martha's doing all this work, and Lazarus and Jesus and the guys are kind of just sitting around. But notice this, it says, then Mary... Here's another person we're going to look at, and we'll save Mary kind of for the end. It says, then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what he put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. You see, Jesus is even right now trying to keep reminding his disciples that he will be leaving soon. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews, so now there's a large group of people, they found out that Jesus was there, and they came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. They're a good group of guys, aren't they? Man, population control. So because people are following Christ because of the miracle, we're going to try to kill Lazarus too. I don't know about you, but the guy was just dead, raised from the dead, and now you're going to try to do it again? How's that going to work for you, you know? Because notice what happens. For an account of him, because of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. And the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and they went out to meet him and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and he sat on it. And as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See your king coming, seated on a donkey's colt." And we know the story of Palm Sunday. But I wonder how many of us really correlate this last meal just hours before, a day or so before Jesus comes in to celebrate what we know as Palm Sunday. And so I'd like to take a few moments and look at this passage of Scripture and look at a number of people who are with Christ at this supper. And I think we can learn some things. One, we learn a lot about the Lord. Here Jesus has a dinner in his honor. And one of the main reasons why so many people were going to show up and people were there is because about a week before, a man by name of Lazarus, Jesus' very good friend who lived there in this town called Bethany, a city where Jesus constantly would travel through, where he had friends, he died. The Bible says that Jesus was out with his disciples and he got word that Lazarus was sick. And in fact, it's kind of interesting, but Jesus intentionally waits. He continues to do his ministry and he intentionally waits a little bit longer, a few days longer, and then he makes his journey back to Bethany. And when he gets there, he's already dead. And even his own disciples and even Mary and Martha, they were like, "If you just would have been here, if you would have been here, he would have lived." And then Jesus even makes some prophetic statements, but Jesus says, basically, "Do you believe that I can bring back the life? Do you believe that you will someday resurrect?" And Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And all God's people said. Amen. And Jesus spoke those words. And then he goes to the tomb of Lazarus and he says, "Roll the stone away." And even the sisters, they say to Jesus, "No, Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. His body, there's already an odor. His body stinks. You don't want to do that." And Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." And I love this. Jesus says this, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus come out, and the Bible says that Lazarus gets up and walks out, and he's in his grave clothes, and he says, "Unwrap him." It was like the mummy, you know? Literally, he comes walking out. I want to say something powerful here. It's a good thing Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," because if Jesus said, "Come forth," there would have been a whole bunch of them coming out. Because the power of Christ. Jesus Christ was demonstrating in this last sign, in this last miracle, he was demonstrating that I have power. I have the power of God Almighty over death itself. That death, that death cannot have any hold of him. And we understand that in about 2 weeks later, Jesus will be crucified and Jesus will rise again. And over and over and over again, he kept telling his disciples and telling his followers that you will kill me, but I will rise again. And what we see is this, is that Jesus is demonstrating his power over death. And so he calls Lazarus out from the grave. Jesus, because of this miracle, if you were to go back to chapter 11, we don't have time to read this chapter, but what you'll find is this, because of this miracle, because of Lazarus coming from the dead, many people began to follow Christ. And as we read, even the religious people said, we have to do away with even Lazarus, we need to kill him too. What you'll find is Jesus leaves. He leaves Bethany and he goes to a little village town out in the wilderness. A little village, I think it's like Ephrata, a little village. He leaves, goes through Jericho, and he goes out into a wilderness area, a village in the wilderness, and Jesus hangs out for about a week or so. He comes back through Jericho, and he says to his disciples, and there's some healings there, There's some men that are lepers, and he heals them. Jesus says to his disciples, we must go back to Jerusalem. We must go to Jerusalem. Now understand, Jesus knows that they are going to kill him. And we'll see in a moment that he even prophesies this and tells his disciples this. But Jesus is going to leave Jericho now and go back into Bethany. And on his way to Bethany, word must get out that Jesus is coming, because a man by the name of Simon says, I want to have a dinner with you before you go to Jerusalem. I want to have a dinner in your honor. And so there's this meal. And at this meal, there are great different groups of people represented. And I want to look at some of them. For example, the man who hosts the meal, not mentioned here in John, but mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 26, 6 and 7 tells us who this man is. It says this, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon, say the next word with me, the leper. Simon the leper is the one who's hosting this meal. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. And we know that to be Mary. So think about this now, Simon the leper. Now let me ask you something. He's referred to as Simon the leper because this man at one time in his life had leprosy. Now, obviously he did not have leprosy because everyone would not be at his house for dinner. Are you guys with me? Jesus at some point healed Simon. Jesus would be coming and going to the town of Bethany. You'll see it found throughout Scripture because it was on the road to Jericho. And it was one of the Jericho road from Jericho to Bethany to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Bethany to Jericho and out into the wilderness area. And so Jesus would constantly frequent the town of Bethany. And once again, Jesus finds himself in the city of Bethany. And here a man by the name of Simon the leper is the host of this meal. I would propose to you without a doubt that Jesus at some time or another in his journeys through Bethany saw this man's need, and this man who was once an outcast, this man who once, if you will, had a death sentence upon his life, this man who was separated from his family and his loved ones, and he was an outcast in society, so much so that his identity was wrapped up in the disease that he had. Simon the leper. And Jesus heals this man. And this man wants to honor him, if you will, and I believe in a way of appreciation, gratitude for what the Lord had done for him. He says, I want to host a meal in your honor in my home. And Jesus graciously, he accepts this invitation. And so Jesus comes to the home of Simon the leper. As this man shows his appreciation, I think he's a picture, I think, and can be a picture of you and I today, that if you have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we too should be grateful and appreciative. Amen. That we who were once outcasts because of our sin, because of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are now brought into the fold, into the family of God. Amen. And so this man, Simon the leper, he hosts this meal in the city of Bethany. Others are present at this meal. Who else is mentioned? Well, a woman by the name of Martha. You see, Martha and Lazarus and Mary, they were siblings. And Lazarus, just the week before, was raised from the dead. And so we see that Martha is at this meal. And the Bible tells us what she's doing at the meal is she's serving. And you see a lot of different personalities. As everyone's gathered, what is she doing? She's serving. You'll find that this is kind of her MO. This is kind of what she does. She serves. And all the guys are kind of hanging around and relaxing. She's serving. I kind of like it like that. Amen. Keep the chips and dip coming, you know? And so Martha, she's serving. She too is a follower of Christ. Me mention this, we won't turn there, I don't have the scripture, but Matthew 27, it says that there were many women, and it mentions some of them by name, Mary, another Mary, Mary, mother of Cleopas. There's different Marys mentioned. It says a great group of women, Martha was one of them, Mary mentioned here in this passage, a great group of women who followed Christ in his ministry and ministered to him. We don't think about this, but by the way, while Jesus was on his road and in his ministry, there were often times, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, I believe it's verse 55, if you want to look it up on your own, it says that they traveled with him and ministered to him. They were the ones who, we don't think about this, but guys, can I say this? Clothes get dirty. They probably washed his clothes. Men get hungry, and Jesus got hungry, and the Bible says that they made meals. They served him. They ministered to him. And we often don't think about that, and that role that they had. And in a culture and a society where many times in the days of this Eastern culture and in this day and age, women were looked at as almost, you know, almost property, and that women didn't have a place, yet we see Jesus giving them a place, not only a place to serve, but a place of honor as well, including them in, which is amazing, because we're going to see this in a moment, that it was kind of a man's world, yet Jesus rebukes those who are criticizing Mary, and we'll see that in a moment. Not only is Martha and other women present at this meal, as well as Mary, but we see Lazarus, the one that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. The Bible refers to Lazarus as Jesus' friend. Also at this meal, and I want to focus in a moment in on Mary, but before we get to Mary, also at this meal, think about this. Who else is sitting at this table? Judas. Judas. Yet Jesus welcomes him and allows him to sit at the table. Judas, the one the Bible tells us here who will betray Christ, and Jesus knows it. Judas, one of the 12. Yet he's still present at this table. Not only is he present at the table, but he has a voice. Because the Bible tells us, in a moment, we'll spend more time on Mary, but Mary does something very unique. She takes out a precious ointment that's used really at the times of burial that's worth a year's worth of wages, and she breaks it, and she anoints his feet, and she washes the feet of Jesus with her own hair. But as she takes and breaks this ointment, immediately Judas, in his own greed, Judas, he says, "Hey, wait! Wait, you shouldn't, what are you doing? You wasted this. What a waste. We could have sold that, and that's worth a year's salary, and we could have taken it, and we could have given it to the poor." Liar, liar, pants on fire. You greedy. Here we see Judas, this selfish man. We see Simon, the leper who hosts this meal, is one who is appreciative and gratitude. We see Martha who's serving. We'll see in a moment Mary who sacrifices. But we have Judas who's selfish. All about himself. And what's really sad is Judas then stirs up the other disciples. And as you read, it says that the other disciples get angry and get upset. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says that they get indignant. They get so upset. Judas was able to stir the pot, if you will. And as Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem and be offered as a sacrifice, we see here that Mary is anointing him. And what we find out is this, is that Judas is sitting here and he begins in his own selfish greed to be only looking out for himself. And the Bible says that he was the treasurer. He carried the money bag and he did not care about the poor. What can I get? What's in it for me? Judas was one of the 12. He was among them, but not one of them. I would propose to you that it's something that we all must be aware of, that it's possible that even within churches, that if Jesus had 12 and there was one who was not really among them and was only there for his own selfish desires, that it can happen in churches today. Pastor Joe, don't bring that stuff up. Come on now. That makes people feel uncomfortable. But Judas did not care about the poor. Judas was only in it for what he could get out of it. What's in it for me? I love when people say, tell us about Red Hills, or fill in the blank, a church. What does your church have to offer me? Why is it so quiet? I know what everyone's doing. Did I ever say that? Was it me? Was it I? That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is this, is that oftentimes people, when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to church, when it comes to the work of God, oftentimes it's what can I get out of it, not what can I give. How can I give? How can I participate? You notice Martha is serving. We've seen a moment Mary is sacrificing, but we see Judas selfish. But this is a beautiful thing. You know, Jesus still let Judas at the table. Amen. Judas was welcome at the table. And Jesus allowed him there, even though he was selfish, and even though, if you will, Judas literally speaking, the Lord's giving Judas enough rope to literally hang himself, because that's what he ends up doing. Do you know who else is at this table? Other than a great group of people who surrounded Jesus in the crowd, there's the disciples. I want you to show you the disciples' attitude in Matthew chapter 20. As Jesus is on his way to this meal, Matthew chapter 20, notice the words of Christ. Okay, we're going somewhere with all of this, so just bear with me, all right? In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is on his way to go to this meal at Bethany, and I want you to notice what happens. These are the disciples. Let's see their attitude. It says this, Jesus said, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death. And they will hand him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, to be mocked, to be flogged, and to be crucified. And on the third day, he, speaking of himself, will be raised to life. Wow. Listen to me, though. Think about this. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, says, we must go to Jerusalem. His disciples knew that they were angry. The disciples knew, it was no secret, that the Pharisees were now after his life. That's why they went out into the wilderness. Jesus was buying himself another week or two so that he could get back and he could fulfill the prophecy and be the Passover lamb, to be the sacrifice for our sin. So Jesus goes into the wilderness. It is no secret that they were after him and that they were plotting to kill him. So much so that Judas is going to be a part of the scheme and a part of the plan. And as Jesus is saying, we must go to Jerusalem, I must fulfill my mission, he tells his disciples, follow me now. He's pouring out his heart. He is sharing with him the agony that he's going to go through. He says, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be denied. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to be turned over by the religious leaders to the Gentiles, to the Romans, and they're going to crucify me. But he doesn't stop there, praise God. He says, after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And notice the response of all the disciples. You ready for it? Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons. Remember I said women traveled with Jesus? So James and John's mom is traveling with them from Jericho, heading back to go to Jerusalem. Right before they're on their way to get to Bethany, notice what she does. She grabs her sons, kneeling down, and she says, Jesus, I have a favor for you. Can you do a favor for me? Jesus says, what is it that you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two of my sons may sit at your right hand and the other one at the left hand in your kingdom. Jesus says, you don't know. By the way, the patience of Christ, amen? You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. By the way, they were persecuted. Some of them died. Most of them died a martyr's death. Jesus said, you will indeed drink of my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. So they're all fighting over who's going to get the most power, who's going to get the spots in the kingdom. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Jesus says, don't be like these, like the world. Quit being like them. But this is what I'm trying to emphasize, is this. Here Jesus poured out his heart. He pours out his heart and he says, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to literally be crucified. I will be crushed. And as he's speaking these things and he's pouring out his heart, can you not see just how selfish all of the disciples were? The disciples were so sidetracked and distracted by their own ambitions and their own desires and wanting their own place and spot. And they wanted authority and they wanted power and they were missing the whole point of why Christ was even here. So much so that when Jesus pours out his heart and he says, I'm going to die, they're not even paying attention to what Jesus was really saying. And in fact, all they cared about is, where am I going to sit? Where's my spot? And I want to be at the right and I want to be at the left and then the other 10. And here Jesus just poured out his heart and says, this is what God has called me to do. And what do? They're fighting and they're arguing. And by the way, it wasn't the first. There were many times where the Bible says that as Jesus was with his disciples, what were they doing? They were fighting over who's going to be the greatest. One other person, because we're running out of time at this meal, is Mary. Mary. What does Mary do? So significant. Mary is sitting, not running around waiting tables. She's listening to every word of Christ. In fact, one more passage, Luke chapter 10, reveals to us a little bit about Mary. In Luke 10, verse 38 through 42, it says this, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha, so remember the three siblings, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Martha welcomes Jesus into her home. What city are we in? What town? Bethany. She had a sister called Mary. Now listen carefully. Listen to these words. Read these words. Watch these words. What does Mary do? So Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listen to what she does, listening to what he said. Some versions will say that she heard his words. She listened, she heard the words of Christ. But notice what Martha. But Martha was what? Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him, she comes to Jesus, and she asks, Lord, don't you care? Have you ever felt that way? Lord, don't you care? She says, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? She literally tells Jesus, basically to boss her sister, tell her to help me. And let me ask you, do you think Jesus said, okay, now get up and go help your sister right now? What's wrong with you? You're being selfish and self-centered. You should be helping your sister. How many of you think that's what Jesus did? He says to her, and I love the wording here, that could be read different ways. There's a couple ways he could have said this. He could have yelled at her, Martha! Martha!